coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome in hour two of Old School here on The Ticket. AO and DP with you for another couple hours, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. DP, the evil empire, is being evil toward its own. Jerry Jones is personally responsible, at least to some degree, for the continually deteriorating relationship, per reports, with star edge rusher Micah Parsons. Here's this from a report. The relationship between Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys has deteriorated to the point where the star pass rusher is considering drastic measures, which could include a trade request or even a declaration that he is severing his relationship with the team. The two sides remain far apart heading into the second week of training camp and are not currently negotiating. Micah Parsons took to Twitter, put a lot of this in his own words. In fact, 1,000 or more words, essentially, on the Notes app. Took three screenshots for Micah Parsons to get all his thoughts out about what is going on with him and the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones named as Mr. Jones, Stephen Jones named in this note for Micah Parsons as well. The Cowboys are doing it again.
So in any other stretch of the universe, I am throwing confetti and celebrating this. I am tempered by the fact that my Washington Commanders are doing the very same thing.
We were going to get there, but we were going to give you your moment.
Yeah, well, you know, full transparency, right? Honesty from the start, that I understand that business happens and people want to get their worth and value. The rules are the rules. And then also, if you sign a contract for 5 years, you sign the contract for 5 years. And then once that contract ends, if you are not willing to accept what is offered, in most cases, you're able to move along. That's not particularly the case here.
No.
So then it becomes choosing a side, which I, listen, I tend to lean towards the people who have the contract in place. If you're under contract, you're under contract.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because you don't want to be on a contract and have everybody say, well, I'm not going to pay. What you be of your word.
You signed it. You said you're okay with it.
Be of your word. Nobody made you sign a 5-year deal. You thought for the sake of this thing, 5 years is better than four. You signed it. You agreed that 5 years is better than four. Knowing full well, you didn't know what the value of it was going to be. Most of the back end contract years are of higher value than the previous years, unless it's an inverted contract towards the end of your career where you know, okay, I'm in the decline era.
Well, a guy like Micah Parsons, too, has seen edge rusher after edge rusher do the same thing. As that position continues to take on more and more importance, they'll sign these deals, and he sees them. He sees quarterbacks, obviously, wide receivers, I think, certainly in that mix as well, sign their deal, and then in the last year of their deal, that's where they say, oh, yeah, I know I signed it for this many years, but I'm not going into the last year of my contract without an extension. You know, he's seen that example set for him,
but you can't say it. You don't. Here's the thing. As the owner, you set the standard for how business is going to be done. And if your standard is last year of contract is maybe. Right. But we also know the value in all of sports and learning that some of the best years to ever happen in sports from a production side come in the contract last year of a contract year.
Contract year.
Like,
baby.
That's why it's a thing.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Curry.
It's a thing, right? We understand that, listen, I'm going to bet on myself. All the catchphrases. But the reality is this, that if you're under contract, and I can speak for me. If I am under an agreement to pay X number of dollars, then that should be I don't need to readdress it. I don't need for you to reconsider because I had three really exceptional months. That was part of the expectation and why you were paid what you were paid to begin with. The contract is for the thing you do next, not what you're doing now. You're under contract for one more year. Put your head down. go be as great as you can be, and then let the offers flow in. And guess what? Your leverage change because you're not a, they don't own the rights to you. Mm-hmm. You can go wherever you want. That's what the union voted for. That's what all the past alumni have voted for. It's really the thing. I've said the same thing in college sports. If you offer somebody a scholarship for 4 years, it should not be year to year. It should not be year to year. I know there are people that find value in that, but that's why the transfer portal exists, because the grownups in the room wouldn't honor their word. And they showed the young people that, you know what? These owners ain't loyal. So guess what? If I play my tail off and I have more value down the street, then guess what? I'm going to go down the street because you said we can renegotiate. Well, first
we can find another one.
Listen, you fellas, ladies, if your significant other didn't have to love you today, you would start to look. Well, but if you're under agreement and you have an oath, you honor the oath. Mm-hmm. Honor the oath. Hey, man. Yeah, I might be able to get strawberry shortcake down the street. Probably not the move. We say, why? How you do business is who you are, and how you treat anybody is how you treat everybody. Honor the contract. Michael Parsons, he's made pretty good money. And then guess what? This year is an investment in his future. He's going to, if he finishes this contract, he can go play for whoever he wants, for whatever amount of money they can agree to. Mm-hmm. So why would you not want that? What's wrong with that?
Because Michael Parsons thinks that 42 is better than 24.
It is, but you're not entitled to it.
You are not entitled to
it. You're not entitled to it. You listen, if they choose to give it to you, you're entitled to it. But if they're not, you're under contract for $26 million. And it's really hard in this economy to have people think that, wait a minute, $26
million? That ain't enough.
You really? We go back to the quote, you know how tough it is to spend that kind of money? The nerve of me. Yeah, Michael Parsons. Here's the thing. It's Micah, but okay. through all of it, if you tell me you're the best player, well, tell me what TJ Watt is doing and why they went through what they went through. Hendrickson, the kind of year that he had, the kind of production, if the ownership decides that, you know what, we should probably lock this guy up. Or they're not sure. Because we don't know what the relationship between them is. We don't know the behind the scenes, hey, he's not being the best locker room guy. Or, hey, he doesn't believe in what we believe in. Or, hey, he's excelling in one area, but we've asked him to excel at something else, and he's not. I don't know. I don't know, but go to the facts. And the facts are there's a contract, a signed contract in play for Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys for this year.
Mm-hmm. And he should honor it.
That should be, well, if you're a teammate who relies on Micah Parsons to play the way you play, and if you're a defensive coordinator and you rely on Micah Parsons to play, is he helping you? Is he being a good team player?
Not right now.
He's not being good team player. Also, if you're the coordinator and you have to compete with the reigning defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, and the owner is not getting you what you need to do so, you didn't beat the Eagles with him. You weren't better than the Eagles with him. The likelihood that you're going to be better than the Eagles without him shrinks. So
from zero to less than zero.
Right. It's the thing. There is no right or wrong because it's business and folks are just doing what people have done for the duration of this thing. I would think simplicity allows me to say, what's the agreement in place? Because that's the legal standing, ethically and other. Cool. But as a radio station owner, often I'm left with, well, here's the agreement. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to pay you less than I promised to pay you to do the job as long as you do the job. Mm-hmm. You don't get to tell me that, well, I'm worth more than that. You can believe that you're worth that, and I can say, well, under contract for this amount, and then when there's no contract, you can go get all the money somewhere else. Go get it. See ya. Wave at the door. Because there's somebody that wants to play there for that amount of money. They're 95% of the linebackers and edges in the NFL would love to have Micah's
money. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the reality.
But I also think that 31 out of 32 other franchises would like to have Micah Parsons. The Cowboys do, and Micah Parsons, I 100% agree, is under the obligation to show up for that contract. But it is also true that Jerry Jones and that front office are making it a lot harder than it needs to be in...
How?
In not doing a signing good faith deal that, hey, you've outperformed your contract.
What good faith? We're talking about $16 million. What kind of good faith are we talking about?
I'm saying Micah Parsons has produced at a level above and beyond that. He has. He can point to that. And so how many other franchises, many other players have gotten an agreement for more money? The Cowboys want to keep him around. They say they do.
What's he owed?
His contract is signed for $24 million.
What's the legal agreement?
The legal agreement is that. But why are they making it so? Why is it such a bad thing for them to want to pay him more?
I'll pay you more next year when the contract is over.
But why would they allow him to get to that point to negotiate? Why are they making this so?
If he's willing to go, he's not yours anyway. He's doing business the same way the Cowboys are doing business. They're both doing business. Mm-hmm. One has a legal footing. One has an emotional footing. Mm-hmm. People will tell you, damn your emotions. Here's what the agreement is. You as a man, if you are not of your word, first of all, I'm not going to be led by somebody who I can't believe their word. Like, I'm not going to be led. I can't have my entire franchise be led, the face of the franchise, be led by somebody that conveniently will say, my word doesn't matter. I want more money. I'm not being led by that. I'm not. There's no world in which, other than the pro sports contract world, where you don't have to honor your word to be a leader. You're asking for leader type money. $42 million, you better leave the team. As a matter of fact, there should be some expectation that you beat everybody and that you play every game. Mm-hmm. But if you tell me, look, remove the Cowboys from the equation. I don't have to like Jerry Jones to say that in this particular case, while I enjoy the chaos, the reality is the first thing to the table is you want to be the face and lead this organization. Mm-hmm. All while saying, I don't like the way this organization does business publicly. You're literally bashing the thing that you say you want to be in charge of and lead. And guess what? For all the people not making $42 million or $26 million or $13 million or $3 million, you're going to be led by a guy that told you, hey, bro, you better get your money first. Not after you won the Super Bowl.
Not after you didn't make the playoffs.
Not after. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. I can finish third in the NFC. I can finish third in the NFC East without you, with an additional $26 million in the bank. What are we talking about? He can't go anywhere else and get $26 million right now. Nowhere else on the planet. Nowhere else. Not any other organization. Nobody. 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 Jerry Jones can play football Sunday without him. Micah Parsons can't play without the Cowboys. Why? He's under contract.
Under contract.
Hey, listen, you come to work and make $26 million and be everything you say you are, and then let us in good faith, right? Because that's the good faith portion. Good faith ain't giving you what you haven't earned, what you think you earned. No. Good faith is, you know what? You are of your word. You say, what is good faith without being able to trust you to honor your word? I'm not giving my best player in my face a payoff because he's been a bad employee.
Has he been a bad employee?
He's been
right
a bad
now. He has.
Right now,
he's being a bad employee. Janet
Jackson's song, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" What have you done? What do you do? Are you here leading in the most critical 10 days of the Cowboys season, which is the first 10 days of training camp where all of the standards are built, all of the trust is built, all of the sweat, the toughest days. The toughest days aren't in the dog days of November. The toughest days are the first 2 weeks of training camp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're just going to skip the training camp, want more money for skipping the training camp, and not leading the group of people that you say you are in charge of.
That you want to lead.
Mm-hmm. Right? You just told them, y'all ain't that important to me. If they were important, you show up and go to work. You're in a battle. But he's sitting on the couch chilling. Tweeting.
He has been at practice. He's avoiding the fines. Money matters to him, right? He's showing up to avoid the fines.
So you're a do less guy. So you're a
he's a do less guy right now.
And that dude is worth $42 million.
I'm gonna go to 2563 on the text line. Okay. And I agree. You're right. Emotionally, legally. I get that. But in 2563 ads, it's just that typically it's done earlier than contract conclusion, which are you going to argue that's bad business to do it before the end of the contract?
97% of NFL contracts are honored and in full. It is the exception to the rule. In this 3% space, we're talking about the top half of the top 1% of football players and contracts.
Which Micah Parsons has produced at that level on the field for 4 years for the Cowboys.
No, he hasn't.
Yes, he has.
Would you trade?
How many Super Bowls does T.J. Watt have in the last 5 years since Micah Parsons?
I'm consistent. And you can't ask me for the best money in the game if you aren't leading me to be the best organization in the game. What am I paying you for? And you agree to it. It's your signature. Mm-hmm. Nobody held a gun to your head and say, sign this and accept this. Take my $26 million. Nobody forced him to say that. It's $26 million. How many people in America, in the world, have an opportunity to sit at a table and sign a piece of paper that says, I am about to do work for $26 million and have it guaranteed to be paid it, whether I produce or not? Now, if I produce, it means that I'm paying myself forward of the contract. I'm not paying you back. The reason why you invest in rookie contracts and you say you pay them in advance, the work that you've done in college, we're going to pay you for, right? You've earned the right to be in this position. And then we offer the contract. And then you prorate the contract, the rookie contract, which is why people can't wait to get out of the rookie contract because that's a smaller contract.
Mm-hmm.
You telling me that Jaden Daniels wasn't the best player on the Washington Commanders? He wasn't the highest paid.
Making the least money.
He didn't hold out and go, hey, man, I'm the second best quarterback in the NFC. I think I deserve the most money. Well, all the while, Jalen Hurts is waving his hand at everybody talking about, wait a minute, I've got the ring.
It's right here, people.
I'm the ring guy at this position. And it's that case for every position in the NFL. Like, I understand that you're selling jerseys and you're selling content and you're doing that. That's what Micah Parsons does. Cool. Great highlight reel. Perfect. Wonderful. Is he leading your team? Be careful who you attach your car to.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a jackass, you end up in the gutter somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The top leader. It's never about that. You imagine if what people would say, if Dylan Raiola said, I'm going to accept X number of dollars for NIL for my time at Nebraska, and then said, you know, before training camp, you know what? I need more in NIL money. Wait a minute. You haven't beat Michigan, Ohio State, or Oregon.
Or Penn State.
Like, there's a long list.
Or Minnesota.
Right?
Or...
But I'm the face of the program. I'm the best player on the team. And you gave me your word that this was what we agreed the value system was. This is how long the agreement was for. Mm-hmm. And then to say, oh, my goodness, listen, the economy's tough. But you just gave Mr. Joe tight end $13 million a year? He's not the best tight end in the NFC East. What do you could, listen, go get tight end number 5, add that $13 million, then you got a whole other deal. We can have that conversation. I get it. But now it's just two bulls ramming their heads together. Mm-hmm. Okay, let them. One already lives there. One wants to be the king. Mm-hmm. They're going to ram heads. Simple business. Honor the contract. Honor your word. Honor your word. Oddly enough, Jerry Jones is the only one, unless he told Micah Parsons in private, hey, man, I'm going to get this deal done before camp. Okay, if he did that, you're on your own, Jerry. Lizard man, alien, you did what you did. You caused this. I don't know what he told him. But from the public vantage and from the owner vantage, from the player vantage, if I'm a player on that team, what are you doing? Why? I got to come to work and sweat and get my head concussed and risk bruises and bumps and broken bones. And you chilling. You tweeting. Who's putting in the most work down? The guy behind Parsons or Parsons?
Guy behind him right now.
Who's going to help you beat Philadelphia on opening day?
If he's not there, it's not going to be Michael Parsons.
So what are we doing?
So then are you saying it's bad business, not the way you would go about it, to extend players of Micah Parsons' caliber before the end of their contract? How do you view that then?
Well,
because you're in completely right the way you're framing it, in terms of you have a contract, honor it, play through it, then we'll discuss again. And again, I agree with all of that you're saying. I understand your point from the hard factors point. You are completely right. But one of the soft factors is, hey, even if, yeah, we'd rather he just play out his contract and honor it, it's going to be better for us. It's going to be fewer headaches. We like this guy's production. We can deal with the headache inside the locker room. We're going to extend him a year early so we don't get into the situation. Are you saying that's bad business? That's dumb?
I'm saying he knows what he promised. He knows what's in the contract. He knows what they all know what they agreed to. I'm not going to do the dude holding me hostage with a gun trying to get my ATM bank card and code. I'm not going to give him more. I'm never going to give the person that holds a hostage more. What are you talking about? You can't lead me. You can't lead my people. Do I need to do this? Why would I trade him and allow him to come back to haunt me? They're going to give him whatever they can give whatever him something to do, whatever they want, whatever you have chosen not to give him. But the reality is where we stand 10 toes down, that the contract was agreed to, signed, endorsed. You have accepted all the millions to this point. All of them. All of them. And then you said, that's not enough. Well, I appreciate how you feel, but the agreement in play is what you should honor. Get your money, boo-boo, but get it the right way. Like, listen, I love the chaos. I love the Cowboys chaos because it's what Dallas does. Okay, perfect. But if I'm being honest, as much as I love Terry McLaurin, if you are under contract and you're trying to be the best team in the NFL and you have to get better than the Philadelphia Eagles, who are your neighbor, who you will see twice or three times or how many times you have to face them to get through, what you're doing now is not the mission. It's not the team mission. It's not your teammates' mission. It's not your coach's mission. It's not the best thing for the fans. It's not. You're being selfish. That's the word. You're being selfish and greedy. And you're not being of your word. If you sign the contract, honor the contract.
Are the Dallas Cowboys a better team with Micah Parsons on the team or if Micah Parsons off the team in 2025?
I don't know, because I don't know. There's damage being done right now.
But real damage. Mm-hmm.
Listen, Austin.
My standing will be this. I saw this from Spotrac, who does a lot of good work with contracts. Micah Parsons has been extension eligible since January 8th, 2024. Finished on 2023 season with 14 sacks, 64 tackles, forced fumble, second highest defensive Pro Football Focus grade. The top average annual value among edge rushers at that time was $28 million.
He's getting 26.
Maybe it's bad business to extend a guy, you know, ahead of time before he plays out the contract, doesn't honor his word. But in terms of building a team, you could have paid Micah Parsons $28 million per year. Now you're looking at 43.
He wouldn't have signed for 28. Back. He said
it would have been highest average at the time if you extend him then.
He said
it would have been a huge pay raise for a guy that was making $4 million after 2023. He would have signed because what's it about for a lot of these guys? Respect. They want to be the highest paid at their position. At the time, he would have signed.
Wonderful
for that.
Thing to say. That is a wonderful lie.
That's what they're saying.
Of course, that's what they said. That's got nothing to do with any of this. Respect.
These guys love being the highest paid at their position.
That's ego. That's not respect. That's ego.
Either way, they like it.
That's not
and
about.
So he would have signed for 28
at the time.
That's not about
the team.
I agree.
That's not about the fan. That means you don't care about the fans.
But it would have helped the team now that the price has gone up.
So then let's make every contract year to year. And tell me how business would get done.
It's different for a player like Micah Parsons.
No, it's not. He is a player. He is a player. There's no exception to the rule. The rule's the rule. The union agreement, it's true, but it's not. Here's the thing. You can tell me that you love what you do and you love the respect because you're paid what you agree to it. You get paid. You don't have to worry about it. If somebody is getting paid more than you and they don't show up, what is your gut reaction to that?
Not going
to
be happy with
there,
it.
That's all I'm talking about.
And all I'm saying is Alec Pierce is also in a contract here and he's still showing up to training camp. Alec Pierce and Micah Parsons are not the same player. Same rules apply.
But they don't,
at the same time.
Then you just described why the Dallas Cowboys aren't the organization or team that they should be every year. If your team is constantly in contract negotiation, renegotiation, holdout, your house has leaks and you need to fix it at the foundation. And the foundation is the basis for how everything is done in that house. And if there's an exception to the rule, there is no rule. There is no rule. If Micah can go, I can go do what I want to do and show up when I want to show up. Okay. Guess what?
So can everyone else.
That's the thing. And that owner, at some point, going to tell you, you know what, I'm going to sell it and let y'all get another owner.
And dangerous message for a first-year unproven head coach.
Hey, well, what's that coach doing? Tell me what you're doing for your new coach. What are you doing for him? You giving him a fair chance?
Not with this distraction.
Neither one of them doing the fair thing. Because I would have said this. I'm not signing taking the coaching deal until you get that guy, that dude, that situation handled. No, handle it. If he's here, look, I went through this Redskins with Theismann and John Riggins. John Riggins was in the cabin saying, hey, man, if y'all need me, cool. Until Joe Gibbs went to the cabin and said, I got you. Do what your word says you're going to do. At least try. At least try to honor that. But that's not what the Cowboys do. That's not what Jerry does. And it's fine. Again, that's why they're the Cowboys. And that's why I chuckle. But I also say it with full transparency. I do not like McLaurin holding out. I don't like that they're going back and forth in the media. He went from, I'm showing up to camp, and I love the Commanders. I love the fans. I'm going to go and high five. No, that was a political ploy because the real intention was, if you love the fans, I'm going to show up and honor my word, go to work, I'll get my money. You don't chase money. Money chases you. Your work is where the money is.
There we go. Cowboys and Micah Parsons. We'll see how this develops. More Old School next on the Ticket.
Now back to On the Block with Eric Strickland, Jay Foreman, and Austin Orman.
We're back here on Old School. Austin Orman, Derek Pearson with you for another hour and a half. Tonight, a couple programming notes. Royals on the air at 5:30. Keep that in mind. Pop over to the stream with us for the last half hour of Old School. Then stream only Baseball Corner tonight. Corner 3 will air tomorrow morning at 11 instead. So keep an eye out for that little slight programming change. All right, DP, some news out of Major League Baseball and the trade deadline. We will start in Minnesota, but this will ultimately take us down to Houston. Obviously, the Minnesota Twins started out the year okay, got extremely hot, had a long winning streak, looked like they are in good position, and then the bottom fell out. So the Minnesota Twins traded 10 players away yesterday, had only 17 players on their 26-man active roster at the start of business today. One of those players they traded away was Carlos Correa, a guy that they signed in free agency to a one-year deal, signed him to a long-term deal, with the season going the way it is, and Houston in need of a third baseman with Isak Paredes on the injured list. Carlos Correa is headed back to Houston. What does that move mean on the field and maybe emotionally for Houston?
I thought they were the biggest threat to the Yankees in the AL. I know, Detroit and folks, there are folks that have bounced around and have different discussion, but it's dangerous when you have people that know how to win important games. They've been in those moments. They existed. And that when you have a great player who is willing, as we were having the conversation, willing to do what's best for the team, the best for whatever situation he's in, that's Carlos Correa. He was popular on the team, popular in the community. I actually ran his camp in Houston. So he is exactly what you would imagine that he is.
I think his parents are there. His wife's parents are back in Houston still, right, as well.
To go through when Altuve and Alvarez say, yes, 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 go get Carlos.
His home return will be the same day that Alex Bregman returns to Houston as well as a member of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, and it is an interesting thing. I don't know what the Bregman was popular, but it also became a thing. Like, sometimes changing scenery is good. Sometimes not. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're good where you are, right? Playing meaningful games in cities where people care about you. The Red Sox are currently third in the East. But they're only five games back. Behind Toronto, they're a game and a half behind the Yankees.
As of now, season ends today. It's Red Sox, Yankees in the wild card round, in fact.
Which, if you said this to me, I mean, think about it. He picked up, he went plus, Correa went plus 11 wins in the trade. A team at top of their division with some cap room and some space to the ceiling that they can get better. He feels a major need. I like the move for Carlos. I like it for the Astros. I don't think the league is done in the sense that it will transform itself in several different ways. But you're doing short fixes. Yes, he's going to help them compete in the AL Division Championship Series. I think that's fair. I also think that he could be a reason why they win it. And then if they win it, I'm not sure there's a player on the Astros that has less fear of the Dodgers than Carlos Correa. So bring it on, big boy.
If the Dodgers even make it out at this point.
Well, the Dodgers are so loaded and have so many options. I just don't know that I don't see the Mets doing it. I don't see the Brewers doing it. I don't see the Cubs doing it. And I really don't see the Padres. The Padres don't have Dodger fear like everybody else, but I think
Phils?
Phils, when the Phils have to get past the Mets, and I'm not sure they do.
Well, they can wild card it.
They can wild card in, but if you're a wild card and you got to burn your guys against Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers, whoops, you've made it more difficult for yourself. So I don't know if the Phillies, again, if you're the Dodgers, you've proven you don't fear the Phillies.
No,
I got left-handed dudes that can get out Bryce Harper. Like, I'm not tripping. If Trey Turner has this career series, what do you do with it? So the Dodgers are the force. It's an open discussion in the AL.
I think the Yankees did the most to get better in the American League, which is not what I wanted to hear.
Right. It wasn't a thing, but it also tells the story that if we're looking at the best four teams in baseball, two from each league, Dodgers, Mets,
Yankees, Astros.
Sorry, Milwaukee. Sorry, Nick Sainert in Chicago.
Milwaukee's got the same issues and maybe a bat or two short. Chicago didn't make a big move to go get an arm at the deadline like people thought. I do really like what Philly did, though. I mean, I know they're still trailing the Mets and would have to wild card it as of now, but I think I like what Philly did. Generally, San Diego's always all in. The team that scares me to get invested in a little bit, DP, is Seattle. I mean, that's a team for all the talk about them and Cal Raleigh and how great their pitching staff has been for a few years now. Like, come on, it's Seattle. Like, you can bump up Cal Raleigh, his amazing, you know, switch hitting power numbers is something you haven't seen since Mantle, which is true at this point. But until further notice, they're still Seattle. You know, they're not going to make it out of the ALDS because guess what? They're Seattle. So as much as I think people want to believe in the Mariners in a lot of ways, Houston has 17 dudes on the IL and is still games, plural, clear of Seattle in the AL West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is different. They're good defensively. They just got better with a Gold Glove caliber shortstop moving to third base.
Moving down the defensive spectrum.
Think Rodriguez, Cal Ripken in those years doing that thing. So there's value in that. I love Correa going. I just think Major League Baseball is in a place where they have some new stars that are forming. They have some new rivalries. And then the old heads are popping their heads up and saying, you're going to have to go through us. Yes, I'm glad Seattle's better. I'm glad they have a star. I'm glad that you know, Toronto is sneaky, but I don't believe them yet.
Nor should you.
I don't believe them. And I thought the Tigers were going to run away, but I also didn't think that was going to help them. Like, I want, if Detroit was in a slugfest with another good team to win the division, I would put them as the best team in the American League.
Casey's coming, DP.
Royals
are coming,
as,
DP.
As I said.
You're Lincoln's home for the Royals. They're coming. You'll hear it all right here, 93.7 The Ticket.
What's the Royals' record against the Tigers this year? Talk to me.
We'll have to find that.
Talk to me. Yeah, because I think
I'm just saying they're coming.
No, I'm just asking questions. You know, we don't have to have all the answers, but I'm asking that question. Tell me what the Royals have done against the Tigers.
Now that I'm curious, I have to look this up. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and look for.
Yeah, there are things that I need to know. And look, I love that they're good, and I love that they're having the year that they're having. I just don't know that I'm buying into them being at the level of Dodger
Yankees. Yeah, probably not. Royals are. Let's see. That's 1-3. That is 2-5. 2-5 against the Tigers with 6 more to go.
As I was saying, if
they have a chance to get to 8-5 against the division leading Tigers, this is all I hear. That's all I see. They have a chance to get to 8-5.
I go by what I know, not what I think I know.
And what I know is the Royals have a chance. And they're coming. And you'll hear it all right here on 93.7 The Ticket, starting in about 45 minutes with pregame.
Yes, sir.
Tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays, who happened to acquire Royals killer Ty France. So yeah, may they be darned to heck for that. If you're going to Kansas City for the Husker game on Thursday, August 28th, the place to party beforehand is with Blur Events. The tailgate on the main concourse of Kansas City Royals Kauffman Stadium will go from 3:30 to 8 p.m. with a capacity of 2,000 people. All ages are welcome. Children 5 and under are free. Parking in the game are just steps away from the Blur Events tailgate. Enjoy access to ballpark concessions, offering food and beverages, tailgate games like cornhole, beer pong, and flip cup. And, of course, 93.7 The Ticket on the scene for our pregame tailgate show. Buy tickets today at blurevents.com/Kansas City. We'll be back. Put a bow on hour two of Old School. Hour three just ahead.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Putting a bow on this hour of things. Of course, still another hour to go here during Old School. This segment of the show brought to you by Love Volleyball Omaha. Renew your season tickets or secure them for the first time by visiting lovboma.com to make sure you get your seats to watch Olympians, national team players, and of course, plenty of former Huskers all take the court for Love Volleyball Omaha. Again, lovboma.com. DP, just a couple days ago, of course, Nick was in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days Volleyball Edition. I thought Danny Busboom Kelly met the moment really well. And of course, Rebecca Alec Harper Murray were incredible, as always, right? Really great spokeswomen for that program. Interesting year ahead for Husker Volleyball.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time new leadership. And, you know, she's not new to coaching, not new to Nebraska, but it's new leadership in this space. This is a heavy charge. You know, in coaching, they always talk about don't follow a legend. And John Cook is absolutely a legend. Mm-hmm. She met the moment, and I think she has everything in place. I don't know how. I mean, it's Penn State, Nebraska is the favorites anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting season, but you've got solid leadership, returning play at a high level. You improved. You got younger and better at some positions as well. The recruiting class was phenomenal. You maintain the assistants that drive the machine and Jalen Reyes and company. So I feel really good about Nebraska volleyball in that new energy sometimes can add to, and it may be a difference maker. You know, does it take them from Final Four good to national championship good, or does it take you a step down? I would imagine that it takes a step up because she did it with less talent than she currently has. So I love what it looks like. We will see. We get to see pretty quickly what it's going to look like, or at least how it moves.
So. And you mentioned just in a hypothetical off the air that we can bring here, like what if Nebraska football started the year off with a test like Michigan? Well, Nebraska volleyball has said, no, we're not afraid to start off with a test like that. They welcome Pitt to Pinnacle Bank Arena, not even the Bob. Down to Pinnacle Bank Arena, first time there will be volleyball in that arena on the Nebraska volleyball scale. That's a heck of a tester right away. And of course, the schedule doesn't get easier from there. I think Stanford's on there as well at some point. Always playing a loaded schedule, but that's a feature. That's not a bug. And I think Nebraska volleyball is really a program that welcomes that pressure, welcomes that expectation, and says, you know what? This is what we do. You know, it's not going to be weird for us to play these top teams in the non-conference. That's just not a negotiable anymore.
Yeah, and the leadership is in play that, again, player of the year candidates at every position. You know, whether it's offense, defense, at the pipe, on the floor, service, you've got some of the best in the country. And in the conversation, earned. This isn't hype that we're talking about. We're mm-hmm. talking about player of the year candidates in full, and that on any given night, any of them could carry the team. You've replaced – anytime you lose Alexi Rodriguez, the program has to be affected, but they're in a great place to replace that with players who, quite frankly, were built for it. They've been developed for it. It's a part of the plan. You know it inevitably happens. And, yeah, iron sharpens iron. So if you want to find out what you have to do to win a national title, compete against national title caliber opponents early and often. The Big mm-hmm. Ten does a really good job, mm-hmm. but to get a running start at getting used to friction and making adjustments and to see whose off-season work shows up in regular season play. Yeah. I feel really good about Nebraska volleyball for several reasons, but I think that the assistant coaches staying tell me a lot. That tells me a lot.
Mm-hmm. It really does from the Danny Bus, from Kelly side of things and from the assistant side of things. We'll go to break here. We'll be back hour three of Old School on the other side. Again, big thanks to the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese and, of course, to Love Volleyball Omaha for sponsoring this segment. Hour three of Old School rolls on next.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.